Many, although not all, of the camps around the Maasai Mara in Kenya are based on the conservancy model. So what does this mean, and why is it a good idea for both locals and tourists? Jake Greaves-Cook is from Perini Camps.
Well, our conservancy concept essentially has three elements to it. First of all, it's creating protected areas of habitat for wildlife species. Secondly, the land which is protected belongs to communities who earn an income from having their land set aside and leased for use for wildlife conservancies. And thirdly, it offers an opportunity to visitors to experience the wildlife in an area away from mass tourism. So it means that the experience of the visitor is getting very close to nature, seeing the wildlife without all the hordes of tourists, visitors.
And how do you control the number of people that are in that area? Because, of course, if it's successful, you'd have that run that risk of then there being mass tourism.
Well, the way in which we ensure that it is low-impact tourism and it isn't mass tourism is very simple. It's geared to the numbers of beds that we allow within the area. So we have a formula which is essentially no more than one tent per 700 acres, no more than one vehicle per 1,500 acres, and no more than 12 tents per camp. So it essentially means that you're going to limit the number of vehicles and the number of tourists within the conservancy. And no matter how popular it becomes, you cannot have more than that maximum number, which is a fraction of the density in the national parks and reserves and elsewhere.
Talking about the second point that you made, then how do the communities actually benefit? So there's this bed money that goes to them. What does that mean?
The communities benefit from the conservancies because, firstly, they continue to own the land. We are very keen not to buy land and then displace people. We're keen that the land belongs to them. They have the ownership of the land. The area around the Mara has been subdivided in recent years into literally thousands of small plots, averaging size around 100 acres per plot. Each of those plots belongs to an individual Maasai who has the title deeds. Now, we have leases with all those individuals. So every individual owns the plot of land which make up the conservancy. And they receive a monthly rent which is based on market rates. So they have the option of deciding how to use their land. Do they use it for farming? Do they use it for cultivation? Do they use it for livestock? Do they use it for housing? Do they sell it? And we are offering them an opportunity to retain the ownership of their land as part of a conservancy in a way in which their land will be in a good condition, probably better than it was before, because it's set aside and it's very low impact.
And is it just the landowners benefit, or do the wider community benefit as well?
Well, the landowners are actually the wider community, so we're very particular about that. The people who should benefit should be the people who own the 100,000 acres that have been set aside for wildlife. They are the community, and they are the people who benefit. We can't allow the benefits to extend beyond them, otherwise it would be diluted to too great an extent. And it's important that the people who form the community around the reserves are the ones who directly benefit, and they benefit in several ways. Firstly, from the rental that's paid. Secondly, from employment opportunities, because over 90% of the people working in the camps are drawn directly from the local community, the local landowners. And it's also important that the landowners benefit because they are making the sacrifice of giving up the land. And so the other benefits would be in outreach programs towards schools for people living in the area, medical facilities, bursaries for their family members to go to further education and so forth.
How much of a risk do you think there is that these kinds of models, although obviously giving a financial benefit to communities, also help to erode their culture at the same time?
The conservancy model that we have helps to sustain the Maasai culture and doesn't erode it because, for example, we have a visit to a Maasai village in Selenge, one of our conservancies. There is no entry fee for visitors to go in and there's nothing for sale. It's a village visit, and it's an interaction with the community themselves, who are very proud to tell people about their way of life. And they continue to live in the same way that they did before, in the villages that we visit. The way in which they get a benefit from that is that the company pays a fee so that the visitors themselves don't have to, and it takes away the kind of commercial element and the voyeuristic element that might otherwise apply. But if you visit our camps, you'll find that the people continue to wear their traditional attire, they're not dressed up as waiters, and to a very great extent, they retain their traditional practices.
At the end of your lease period with the landowner, let's just say we decided that you were going to move off the land and that was it, that was, you know, closing down or whatever, what impact would be left behind of your camp being there?
If we, for some reason, decided to pull out and just stop operating, our camps are literally eco-friendly. There is no permanent construction. They are all mobile tents. It's based on the traditional camping safari experience. There is absolutely no concrete or cement or permanent structure. Everything could be taken down and removed, and within a few months, the grass would have grown back, and you wouldn't know that we'd been there.
That's Jake Greaves-Cook from Perini Camps in Kenya.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth, and business experts when it suits you.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.